From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week, we're bringing you our annual highlights program featuring some of our favorite kids and stories from the past couple of seasons. We'll hear Gabriel Fauré's Après un rêve, performed by a 16-year-old cellist from Louisville, and we'll meet a brilliant young pianist who's in medical school at the tender age of 13. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. And now, sitting right next to me here at the studio is our host and my personal favorite pianist, the dashingly handsome Christopher O'Reilly.
Aw, gee, thanks, Joanne. And may I say, you're having an exceptionally good hair day.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's only one of the hairs, but that's okay. Thanks for tuning into our annual Best of Show, everybody. You know what? We can't call it a best of show because there's no way we could possibly decide who's the best.
But the kids are so different, it's silly to compare them.
But I think it's safe to say we've put together a pretty high octane From the Top for you today of really good From the Toppers, and you're going to like what you hear. Like, check this clip out from a year and a half ago. These are four teenage trombonists from Chicago. They call themselves the Bone Rangers, and they're playing the thrilling Walter Ross Trombone Quartet.
Thank you. Trombone Quartet. We heard the Bone Rangers, a quartet from the Merritt School of Music in Chicago, ages 15 to 17. We heard Kevin Dombrowski, Sean Tripp, and Matthew Wolford from Lansing, Illinois, and Jonathan Laxton from Oak Park, Illinois. Fantastic performance. Wonderful piece. Before we go on, gentlemen, I understand you've got a shout-out.
We would like to give a shout-out to Adolf Bud Herseth, who is the retired principal trumpet player from the Chicago Symphony.
Of course.
One of the best brass legends in ever.
History, yeah.
And he is a big fan of From the Top, and we'd just like to say hi to him because we are playing with him, actually. The Merritt School of Music Trombone Choir is playing the Haydn Trombone Concerto with him, and so we found out he was a big fan of the show, so we'd just like to say, give a big hello to Mr. Herseth.
Oh, please, yeah. Give him our best as well. Gosh, fantastic to know that he's listening. Now, our listeners have probably figured out that we talk to our guests coming on the show extensively before they arrive, and Tim Banker from our staff, who originally talked to you all, described you as a really tight bobsled team. Would that be an accurate description?
I wouldn't say so. I'd say we're more like a trombone quartet.
Yeah.
If you put us
on a bobsled and sent us down an ice chute, we would not last very long.
Yes.
Really?
But not much practice.
But and especially, you know, I hear Kevin. You were telling me that Matt's a dirty player. So if you put him in the back of the bobsled, you know, it could be trouble. Is that
Maybe.
True?
Yeah, he's pretty dirty.
I wouldn't call him a dirty player in hygiene or playing most of the time, but he was given the nickname just because he plays freaking loud.
Like down and dirty, yeah, that kind of thing. Really,
I like to think of myself as a pretty clean guy.
Yeah, sure, you're a clean-cut guy. You're all, you know, combed and everything. We're all set to go. But you like to really get in there and mix it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. I mean, you know, in a brass section, you need that sort of...
Good point.
Of elbows out. Yes. And, yeah. You know, off you go. Speaking of dirty, though, your coach, Tim Reardon, isn't always delicate and refined either. I mean, he gets a little dirty, too, with, you know, coaching you guys.
Sometimes we'll be in the middle of rehearsal, and he'll just go out and say, that sucked, do it better.
Not just say that sucked. Yell.
Yeah, it's a bit more forceful than that, yeah. It's more like, you suck. It gets the point across well, but I mean, it's
where do you go from there?
That's a good point.
It can only improve.
Can only
We're used
up,
to it,
exactly.
though. Three of us have been studying with him since we've been 10 years old from the same town, so, I mean, we're used to it. And
it's a long time to suck, I'll tell you. But, I mean, no, seriously, I mean, is it that, I mean, do you think that's too demanding? I mean, what kind of standard do you think he's holding you up to? I mean,
the highest.
Professional standard.
Professional standard. Yes.
We can never meet his expectations, which makes us great.
Energy to burn.
And they're such brass guys. They're in a long tradition of brass guys.
Well, yeah, they do that tradition really proud. And Tim Reardon, their teacher, is a major force. He's almost single-handedly training the next generation of major trombonists.
They're probably all going to be in major orchestras. Don't you think you'll be seeing them, Chris, when you perform concertos on the road?
Oh, definitely. I'll be seeing them all over. Just give them a couple of years to score those orchestra spots. And speaking of me playing with orchestras, the young pianist up next is good enough to steal some of my piano gigs, but happily he won't because he's too distracted studying medicine.
I think you mean totally focused on medicine.
Well, good news for me, though, which makes his musical ability all the more mind-boggling. And he's 13 years old. This is Sho Yano, also from Chicago, and he's performing two Fantasiestücke pieces by Robert Schumann, Des Abends and Grillen.
Thank you.
a 13-year-old pianist from Chicago, Illinois, Sho Yano, playing from Robert Schumann's Fantasiestücke, two movements, Des Abends and Berlinia. So Des Abends, the evening, of course, that has a nice, wonderful, restful quality, but grillen, you know, what is the translation of that word? I forget.
Literally, it's actually whims.
Whims or fancies.
There's a marking that says with humor.
Well, yeah, well, it's a very humorous piece and very bumptious and nicely done, really, really
Thanks.
Beautifully played. And now you're 13 years old and you're in medical school. Where are you going to medical school?
So I'm in the MD-PhD combined degree program at the University of Chicago.
So that's phenomenal. What's your plan? I mean, you're going to be an MD or not be an MD? Or
well, this program normally takes 8 years, and then after that, some more training. But mm-hmm. I think I'll concentrate on research and teaching and see patients once or twice a week.
You've got it all figured out, the whole plan. Good for you. That's phenomenal. Now, do you, and the older students at the med school and in college, you know, as a very, very young man, I mean, how is that? How is your relationship with your colleagues?
It was very good. For the first a few weeks or month or something, everyone was surprised, as you would expect them to be. The professors had been warned in advance at Loyola.
So, but it sounds like you were taking everything absolutely in your stride, and there was never any pressure, and nobody, you know, it wasn't your parents pushing, it just happened. One of the things that actually must help you with your academics is you actually love tests. Mm-hmm. What is it that you love about taking tests?
Well, they're like recitals, because they give me an opportunity to show that I've learned this stuff, I know it, and I want to see how well I can do.
Recitals in the truest sense of the word, absolutely. You know, that's great. Well, being from the top, and we are from the top, we decided to give you our own very special test today. Joanne?
It's time for a round of our latest and perhaps most exciting quiz, Medicine for Musicians. Now, Sho, Chris is going to give you three questions to test what you're really learning in medical school and whether you can apply that knowledge to the typical medical complaints of classical musicians. These questions, by the way, were given to us by an actual, real, bona fide member of the faculty at Harvard Medical School, Haley Goldbach's fantastic mom, Dr. Joe Shapiro. Anyhow, Sho, let's see how well you do.
Yeah, let's see if you're getting your tuition's worth.
And don't worry, Sho, it's mainly about anatomy. You ready?
I think so.
Okay. Here we go. Question one. The famous soprano, Dawn Upshaw, shows up in your office complaining about 5 days of increasing dysphonia.
Okay.
Which part of her larynx is likely compromised? A, her supraglottis. B, her glottis. Or C, her subglottis?
C. First, ENT is in my specialty, so I have to get a second opinion.
Oh, get a second opinion, that's a good one.
Maybe glottis, but I haven't learned the larynx.
Well, it's the glottis, otherwise known as the true vocal cords. Very good. Question number two. Joshua Bell, the great violinist, comes to your office presenting with pain in and around the metacarpals of his fingering hand. Which hand and which part of his hand do you examine? His right fingertips, his left wrist, his right hand at the knuckles, or between the carpals and phalanges on his left hand?
On the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Between the carpals and phalanges.
Yes, between the carpals and phalanges of the left hand. That's the middle of the hand between fingers and wrist. 99.999% of all violinists finger with their left hands, of course. Question number three. Yo-Yo Ma has misplaced his chair and fallen off the cello platform yet again at some fancy schmancy concert. This time, he sustained most of the impact on his lateral thigh. Which of the following muscles would be most likely contused by this injury? A, his tensor fascia lata. B, his tibialis anterior, or his caramel macchiato?
You said the lateral thigh?
Thigh? I said, yeah, lateral thigh, yeah.
Okay, then the fascia lata.
That's exactly right. The tensor fascia lata runs down the outside of the leg to the knee. Of course, the tibialis anterior is in front of the shin. Of course, we all knew that. And the caramel macchiato is available only at Starbucks. Particularly delicious with whipped cream. Joanne, how many does show have right?
That would be all three right.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Congratulations, and thanks for taking our quiz.
Thanks for being with us. It's great having you on. Best of luck. Sho Yano, everybody, 13-year-old pianist and doctor in making from Chicago, Illinois.
And speaking about medicine and music, a lot of the kids who've come on our show have shared with us stories where they've had to overcome very real musical injuries. You'll find some pretty startling tales and some good advice, too, at FromTheTop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E.
Okay, let's go from the unbelievable achievement level of Sho Yano to the teenage screwball comedy life of Natalie Helm. Natalie, a 16-year-old cellist from Louisville, Kentucky, is our next young performer, and let's just say, well, what can we say about her, Joanne?
Well, she's got a completely justified obsession with moist towelettes.
Let's just say she's a girl with comic timing. But her piece wasn't comical, actually. Her piece was, well, even a little melancholy. It's gorgeous. Here, she and I perform Après un rêve by Gabriel Fauré.
Thank you.
Natalie Helm, our 16-year-old cellist from Louisville, Kentucky, playing Gabriel Fauré's Après un rêve, After a Dream. Actually, sometimes a dream can be disturbing, or if something really nice happened in a dream, after a dream can be sort of a sad, sad moment. Oh, it's not true.
Right.
Oh, Cameron, why did you go away? In addition to being a wonderful young cellist, you're a serious competitive swimmer.
I am. I swim every day, except for Sunday, and I swim about 2 hours a day, and I do dry lands and stuff, so it adds up to a lot of time. So.
Yeah, it really is quite dedicated. What's your probably most memorable experience as a swimmer?
Most memorable. I'd have to say that I did swim a state meet, and I touched the wall, and I got second in the state, and I was so happy, and all my friends were circling around me and jumping up and down, and I was like, oh my gosh. So that was probably the most exciting time.
That was a big meet. I mean, you know, you were doing a mile?
Yes. I swam the mile, which is really, really long. And so, like, you're really tired afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, just seeing all my friends, it was, like, really good, you know, because, I mean, you have to get dragged out of the pool.
Yeah, literally.
You're so tired.
You know, the support of your friends is literally
right.
Physical support.
Exactly.
I mean, they have to drag
you need
out of the pool.
Their support, right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right after swimming practice, you take dancing lessons?
I do.
All kinds of dance? Or just
all kinds. I take Irish dancing, flamenco, tap, jazz, ballet, and modern. I just take everything, and I do it, like, you know, every single day after swim team, so I'm just, like, worn out by the time I get home.
I bet.
But, yeah.
Now, I've wondered, I mean, you know, the kind of minutia, the detail that goes into, like, ballroom dancing, for instance.
Right.
Those Irish dancers, I mean, you think of it as sort of happy-go-lucky, but, like, if you're at an Irish, what do you call the Irish dance meet?
Fesh.
A fesh.
Yes.
Okay. And they take points off if your socks fall down?
They do. They're very particular. And if your socks fall down at all, then you get disqualified. And so you actually have to glue them to your leg for them to stay up. So, I mean, everybody, like, you check off, you make, like, a checklist of, you know, you've got your dancing dress and your shoes and your glue for your socks.
Right.
Right. So you've got to make sure you have that.
And, of course, the breathalyzer test, you have to have a minimum of blood alcohol or else you're disqualified. No, that's not true, actually. But I'm Irish and I can say that. This doesn't mesh at all with your real obsession. I mean, we talked about the swim team, talked about the dancing.
Right.
But your real passion in life.
It is. It's collecting moist towelettes.
Don't sell these things short, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
I mean, the wonders of the moist towelette. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, it's like so neat because you open it up and you can be like disgusting, like barbecue sauce all over you. And you know, you open it up and it smells so good and you wipe yourself off and then like you're clean and it evaporated. So it's dry then.
Yeah, sure. It's just a miracle.
It is. It's really neat. So that's why I like them. They're just really...
They're great. And I mean, so you collect them from like different places? Restaurants and stuff, like matchbooks or something?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have like all these different places. I have KFC and McDonald's.
McDonald's has moist towelettes?
They do. Well, not here in Louisville. They're very hard to find. They're rare. So.
Well, here in Louisville, we know how to wash our hands.
Right.
It's in those other uncivilized places where they need the moist towelette. They need the encouragement, Natalie.
Right, yeah.
We won't mention where she found the moist towelettes in McDonald's. I say go for it.
Thank you.
Keep up the cello, though.
Okay.
We like the cello playing a lot.
Oh,
thank you very much, Natalie, for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Natalie Helm, 16-year-old cellist from Louisville, Kentucky.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. I'm Joanne Robinson.
And I'm Christopher O'Reilly, and this is the Sentimental Studio Show, where Joanne and I get to reminisce about some of our absolute favorite kids and, of course, to revisit their glorious performances.
It's true. It's like looking at an old From the Top photo album.
And who's on the next pages of our audio photo album, Joanne?
It's Alfonso Horn.
Right, Alfonso. Could you find a more humble, kind, likable person anywhere?
Impossible.
Also, what precision on the trumpet? Here's 17-year-old Alfonso Horn from Jacksonville, Florida, performing the Rondo movement from Johann Nepomuk Hummel's Trumpet Concerto in E-flat. Alfonso Horn was our 17-year-old trumpeter from Jacksonville, Florida, playing the finale of Hummel's Trumpet Concerto. Really great, great playing.
Thank you.
So
you
definitely got the classical chops, but I hear you play a mean jazz trumpet as well.
I try. I try to play some jazz. So.
And you're serious about being, you're pursuing both of them at this point. I know that.
Yeah, at this point. I plan to go to college and study both, but I'm trying to seek that out, seek a college that I can study both in.
Yeah. But it sounds like it's a hard thing to do. Or is there a history there?
Well, you know, most people say, well, you can't play both, you know, and I see Wit and I'm like, why can't you? But, you know, I'm trying it, and if I fail, then I fail, but, you know, at least I can say I tried.
Because when he was at Tanglewood, you've been to Tanglewood as well, Tanglewood Music Festival.
Yes,
when he was at Tanglewood, I know he was doing all classical and then also doing jazz as well, but I guess soon after that he sort of kind of stuck with jazz. Right. What did you do at Tanglewood? Was he there with you?
Yes, he actually performed there, and I got to meet him, and he remembered me from the Cincinnati Ellington competition.
So, and the Ellington thing happened in New York.
Yes.
What kind of stuff goes on there?
You audition. It's high school jazz bands, and the first day is sight reading, and it's a jam session where I actually got to play with Wynton. The next day is the performances. And they announced the top three placing bands. Mm-hmm. And they actually get to play with Wynton.
Wow.
So.
Dynamite.
It's a really good competition.
So did you guys win? Or?
No, we didn't win. But I did get one of the best trumpet soloist awards.
Well, that counts. We're proud of you there. So actually, while you were at the Ellington thing, in New York, that was also around the time Elvin Jones died. There was Elvin Jones's wake was the next day or something, or last day of the festival.
The last day, which was the third or fourth day, and actually Wyclef's son plays in our band. Uh-huh. So Wyclef Gordon, trombone player, who used to be in the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. So he got it so to where that I could join him to. Attend the wake of Elvin Jones, and some of the best jazz musicians was there, Wynton Marsalis, Herlin Riley, Eric Lewis, people from the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, just a whole bunch of people, and actually Max Roach, who hardly comes out of his house.
He's a recluse,
Came there for that special situation.
Wow.
And afterwards, I went up to get his autograph and take a picture with him. Mm-hmm. And so happens that Wynton steps up too. He comes up to say hey to Max Roach, and I was trying to take a picture with him. He was like, oh, do you know this kid? He was like, no. He was like, oh man, this man is bad. This kid is bad. I was like, nah, I'm not bad. And Max Roach was like, are you bad? I'm like, nah. And Max Roach was like, if Wynton say you bad, then you bad. And
that's right.
It's like, well, it's Wynton, you know.
That's right. That's fantastic.
So no pressure, you know.
Nice little entree to Max Roach from Wynton.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get on the bandwagon and say, Alfonso, you're bad.
Nah.
That's great. Thank you for being with us. Love it, man. Alfonso Horn, 17-year-old trumpeter from Jacksonville, Florida.
From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence.
Sometimes I'll play with a very young kid. In this case, it's 13-year-old Stella Chen. And we hit the first notes of the piece together, and then bang, suddenly the experience becomes just total exhilaration.
Total joy for the audience.
Well, I hope so. Anyway, I hope you like it now. This is 13-year-old Stella Chen from Palo Alto, California, performing Tambourine Chinois by Fritz Kreisler with yours truly. Thank you. Stella Chen, our 13-year-old violinist, also a student at the San Francisco Conservatory, playing Fritz Kreisler's Tambourine Chinoise, one of my favorite pieces played, probably in my favorite performance by you, Stella. It was just wonderful.
Thank you.
Great. So much fun. You were telling me that this piece wasn't just inspired by sort of a general Chinese feeling. It was something quite specific and something quite local, actually, yes?
Yeah. In the introduction of the book, it says that Kreisler was inspired by a Chinese restaurant in San Francisco, and he was inspired by the hustle and bustle and the noise, not some melody or anything.
Right. Yeah. Do you think the restaurant's still there that he liked?
Maybe.
Maybe. You never know.
They're looking quite old.
That's right. Stella, you're not just a musical whiz. You received second place in a very, very cool engineering competition.
Yeah, it's called Tech Challenge, and it's sponsored by the Tech Museum in San Jose. And we were posed a challenge where you have to build a robot that would go across some bumps and go up a ramp and drop a water balloon into a hole. And it was called Battle of the Blaze because it's supposed to simulate putting out a fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we built a robot that had a claw, and we dropped the balloon, and it was really cool.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very cool, but... Are you in the habit of building robots? Is this something that you and your friends had done before? Or?
No, I heard from one of my teachers, and so we just started with no experience at all.
And so what do you start with? I mean, where do you go to build a robot?
We went to a lot of gearbox stores, and we spent a lot of excess money that we didn't need to.
You've got a lot of spare parts lying around, probably.
Yeah.
Build yourself another friend one of these days. I think that's a good idea. And so, it had to be able to move. Did it have remote control?
Yeah, ours. Well, it didn't have to be, but ours had a remote control.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it was four-wheel drive.
Wow, four-wheel drive?
Yeah.
Corinthian leather?
I don't know.
No. But what about the claw? And so basically, this robot is supposed to be putting out a fire with a water balloon. Didn't the claw like break the water balloon 1,000 times?
Well, we expected it to, but it didn't, because. I don't know why it didn't, but it just didn't.
First time luck, I think.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations about that. But it's not all high achievement for you. You really know how to goof off. Like, what was this lame camp you attended? What was the concentration
name? It's not lame.
All right, please.
My
please.
Friend is here, and she went to that camp.
Which camp was this?
It's a badminton camp.
Badminton and, camp. Yeah. Wow.
And we just played badminton for 2 hours and got hit on the head and stuff.
That badminton world is cutthroat. You know, tennis, ha. Unlike most girls your age, this is really my favorite thing about you. You've got a little brother. How old is he?
Yeah, he's 9. His name is Travis.
Travis, and you get along with your little brother?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a really thoughtful person.
Wow. He's not like pulling your hair? Like, what kinds of things does he do?
Well, my mom offers to take him to bowling parties and stuff, and he always like says, "What about Stella?" And then I end up going.
You get to go to his parties?
Mm-hmm.
He shows you off to his friends? What an awesome brother.
Mm-hmm.
Bet your brother's really proud of you.
Maybe.
You think so.
Yeah.
I think so, too. We're very proud of you, too, Stella. It was wonderful playing with you and having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Stella Chin, 13-year-old violinist from right here in Palo Alto.
I forgot that you called her badminton camp lame. Chris, badminton camp is so not lame.
Joanne. It is lame. At our pizza party the night before, she herself had called it lame. But what a great kid, huh?
And an amazing player. I remember just sitting on the stage completely stunned, mesmerized.
We'll be keeping in touch with Stella, you can bet.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cooke Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cooke Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Well, we're going to wrap things up today with a really unusual young performer and certainly one of our most enterprising kids. He's a teenager completely taken with piano rolls and the technology of the player piano. From Gladstone, Oregon, this is Nathan Bellow.
Nathan, welcome. Now, your parents tell me that you were born 80 years too late. Why did they say that?
That's because when I applied for a job at QRS, which is the leading piano roll maker.
Oh, piano rolls.
And they said that they would hire me if it were 80 years ago.
Not much of a market for piano rolls these days.
Right.
What got you into them?
Well, my father used to work at a piano store. And I used to have a lot of fun playing all the pianos, and that's how I got into the business. And they had a lot of different types of player pianos, and eventually I just started collecting piano rolls, and I've had a fascination ever since.
How many piano rolls do you think you've got?
I have about 4,000.
I mean, we actually forget how important piano rolls were. I mean, it was the first recording technology for live performance, and the first time people could actually have music in their homes they didn't play themselves.
Right.
Now, as you've gotten older, you've become an accomplished pianist. You didn't want to just listen to your piano rolls anywhere. You actually started transcribing them so you could play the music yourself?
Well, back in those days, a lot of the original artists used to improvise, and they would play different versions of the same piece. Mm-hmm. And I like to consider myself sort of a musical archaeologists, and because I dig up these rare gems that recently surfaced, and they really aren't available in any other medium.
Yeah, not published anymore, way out of print.
Nathan then went on to play this wonderfully nostalgic piece, one of his own piano roll transcriptions. Its nostalgic flair is just the right way for us to conclude today's special highlights show. I'm Christopher O'Reilly.
And I'm Joanne Robinson.
Please join us next week. And here, taking it from the top, is 18-year-old Nathan Bellow performing The Enchanted Nymph by Theodore Leschetizky. Thank you.
This special highlights episode of From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker with Tom Vagley. The music producer is Tom Vinieri and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our technical director is Barrett Willett. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.